Tonight, as we go into the Word of God, we must understand that God wants the family to be dedicated to Him. God wants the family to be dedicated to Him in proper order. And in order for us to see that, it's imperative that we look into at this scripture, this passage that we're going through in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus, without taking it lightly. You see, when God created this world, He created everything good and He gave it an order. And when the world became tainted because Adam sinned, when the world became not only tainted, but a curse was placed upon the earth, it made things different. When Adam was placed outside of the garden, there was a separation between Adam and God that had not been tofore. So as we look through the book of Genesis, we'll see that God did a lot of order placing. And one of the things that He did in placing order, I'll show you in a few minutes, He did a lot of things where He divided one thing from another, one thing from another, because He had an order in which He wanted things to be done. The whole realm of what we've been going through and discussing in the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus is that God wanted to separate a people for Himself. God wanted to have a family of His own in the earth, because now there were individuals that did not want God controlling their life, and chaos had come to play. Chaos had become the norm. Religious service had become that which man wanted it to be, and it was no longer honoring God. It was honoring the figment of the imaginations of the individuals that felt that they knew what God wanted because they had somewhat in the background of their culture ideas of what it took to please God. But the knowledge of God was more and more and more waning away. So God, in choosing this one group, this one family, has begun to give them more and more of the light of the knowledge of the glory that He wants exemplified through instruction. We call that Torah. So as we look at this passage today, we must understand that God's holiness is not a church. It is not a person. It is not asceticism per se. What I mean by asceticism or piety is not a piety or an asceticism that someone else figures out. It's following the rules that God has set up for Himself, for His people. In this case, He's going to spell it out. And today He's going to spell it out through food. Quite amazing. But I submit to you that in the ancient world, when you went to visit someone's home, if there were things that you would not eat when you came there, you would not be accepted anymore. To not eat with a person, to not eat their food, was an insult. But God was showing that if you're going to honor Me, if I'm going to mean something to you, if I'm going to be elevated in your eyesight, I must be honored above culture. I must be honored above your taste. I must be honored above any and everything that will cause you in your eyesight to think that you're pleasing Me and is contrary to My word. So as we go into Leviticus chapter 11, I want us to kind of keep those little things in mind. And as we move through this, we're going to work through and see what's happening in Leviticus. I'll go to Leviticus chapter 1, and I'll start at the first verse, and I'll start reading. And the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel." We've discussed this many times, that when God says this, and this is a direct order, and He says, speak to the children of Israel, He is talking to the family of Israel. And I've already said many times before, if you're going to be a child of God, you're going to have to be one of the children of faithful Abraham. Israel is the grandson of Abraham and by extension this community. I shouldn't have to repeat that again tonight. Now the scripture says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all beasts that are upon the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven foot and cheweth the cud among the beasts, these shall ye eat. Understand that the word of God is giving them a directive now. Of all the beasts that walk among the earth that you may eat, only those that part the hoof. Now, I don't know if you've seen an animal that part the hoof before, but it's a split in the hoof. The hoof is like, it's a hard, it's a very hard thing. I don't know what it's made up. I could have looked it up. But it's very hard, and it's not like a horse's that's just a solid piece. It's a split, like almost like two triangles coming down. Not exactly triangle, but close to it. Those that split the hoof and chew the cud, those you may eat. Understand when those, when that hoof touched the ground, what is happening? It's separating when it touches the ground. It's not just touching all at once. It's making a separation even when it touches the ground, because of this passage is going to be about separating. All animals do not chew the cud or even appear to chew the cud. I've read some things where there are some scientists that say that some of these animals that we talk about chew the cud, do not chew the cud, it just appears to do so. I also understand that some scientists make some classification and some categorization that seem to go against what the Word of God say. But what we must understand, if someone comes in 2012 and instead of using the classification of boy, they start using classification as box. And instead of using the classification as girl, they start using the classification as flower. Then what they could go back and say, well, there is no such thing as boy. There is no such thing as girl. What that is called is an anachronism. So some of the classification that God set up, what we call science, they go and they call themselves, and they do, they make new classifications. But we must understand that when we read this, those classifications did not exist, which are based upon an ungodly tree of life that was set up by Charles Darwin. I'll stop right there. It's really Darwin, but sometimes I say Darwin, same thing to me, because he can fly away with his folly. Now, the Bible says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these beasts you shall eat among the beasts that are upon the earth. When he says that, that means there are some that you can't. Look at verse 3, whatsoever parteth the hoof and its cloven foot. Those that have played cards, you know what a clover looked like. If you've seen four-leaf clovers, you've seen three-leaf clovers probably. Cloven foot and cheweth the cud among the beasts, you shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, and of them that divide the hoof as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. I brought you up out of Egypt. I separated you as a nation to myself. I determined to come and dwell with you. I've adopted you into my family. I made it known to Pharaoh that you are my firstborn. Whatever it is that I set forth for you is for you. Someone else can say it's for the whole world. And I can say emphatically that that's not necessarily so. As a matter of fact, I believe what I'll do is I'll go prove it. I'll go to Genesis chapter 9, and I will show where the Word of God shows that there was a difference. Listen to what the Word of God says in Genesis 9, because I'm talking about right now, there are some things that were unclean to the children of Israel that's not for other people in the world. And if you've turned there, you can read it from me. If you haven't, I'll read it. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1.
And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth.
That word replenish means to fill. It's an archaic word. So some people could take that word and say, refill again. But if they do it there and then they go try to do it in Genesis 1, you'll get a bad theology, which they call the gap theory. But God has given them a command. And it's an amazing command. I'm telling you to multiply and fill the earth. It's amazing. Read on and I'll show you why.
And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth.
Now, I've told you all before, and I've talked about it in some of our discussions, I believe that the animals were given to man to be his servants. I believe that whenever you watch a cartoon called The Flintstones, that's probably close to what should have been. That animals should be serving man. We've known in the history of the world that men have used pigeons to take messages from one place to another. We know that men have ridden horses or hooked them up to wagons and gone thousands of miles. We know that people have used donkeys to travel to carry loads. We know that they use animals to plow their fields, etc. I believe it was supposed to be even more so than that, but because mankind sinned, God said, I put the fear and the dread of you on them. But in the beginning, they were supposed to subdue and have dominion over those things. Please read, Ann, because I don't want to go over the whole book of Genesis again. I got a point to make.
And upon all the fishes of the sea.
The fish of the sea is under your domain. Read.
Into your hand are they delivered.
Please read.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you.
Every moving thing shall be meat for you. Did you notice at this particular time when he said that, he did not say to Noah coming out of the ark, you can only eat that parts the hoof and chew the cud. He did not say at this particular time, if it chews the cud and does not divide the hoof, you can't eat it. If it divides not the hoof and chew the cud, you can't eat it. At this particular time, at this particular epoch in time is a redundancy, but that's okay. God has allowed them to see that they could eat any animal that moves. Are you with me? And when I say to you that God told the children of Israel, to you is forbidden because I separated you. I'm going to teach the light of the glory of the knowledge of myself, which will be culminated in the face of Jesus Christ through the world, through you. Please read, Ann. Verse 5.
Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat.
God had given mankind a directive. Follow me now. If you don't follow me, it's going to look like Tim's going on a whole lot of convolution, and we're not going to finish this chapter. That's not going to be our concern today. What our concern today is, what is this chapter saying? Why is it saying what it's saying? And why is it that God can execute such judgment on the world? Now, from the time of Noah, without having a Bible, God has told them what they would be allowed to eat. But it says, but the flesh, which the life thereof, which is blood, you shall not eat. This is given to every nation in the world at this time. Somebody say, but it was only four families? Well, it was really one family divided into four. But everyone at this time had the knowledge that the blood is sacred. Don't eat it. I submit to you that when we see the prohibitions that God has given in Leviticus, we're going back to honor what God has said. God is going to tell them how to deal with blood. He's going to tell them how to deal with animals and in Leviticus chapter 11. But look back that God had given directives. One other thing that I'd like you to understand is this. When you see God execute judgment with the Israelites, as you move further through the Bible, you think that they didn't, the other world and the nation didn't know anything was wrong with what they're doing. Look at what it said here. This is a covenant with the world at this time. Don't eat the blood. Please read, Ann. Number 5.
Okay. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man.
You know that I have said many times that I believe that animals were given to be man's servant. We still see it in a minuscule way. I don't believe we see it at the capacity that it should be. But in reading something that Jacob Milgram has said, and it's so absolutely true, animals come up under God's law. Look, read verse 5 again, and let me show you that they are coming up under God's law. Please read it.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require.
At the blood of your lives, dear, will I require it where?
At the hand of every beast will I require.
If an animal kills a man, he comes up under my law, he comes up under my jurisdiction, I have given them to be your servants. If they kill a man, I'm going to judge that animal and I'm going to require it. That's the kind of conversation, that's the kind of decree that comes from the judge of all the earth. Read some more.
At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of
man. And when a man kills a man, I will require it. When God separated his people, and he's making the difference between holy and unholy, as we're going to see in Leviticus, and unclean and clean, I need us to understand that the animals were servants to God, and even before you see him say, I'm going to require it of the man, in chapter 9, he said, I'm going to require it from the beast. All are under my jurisdiction. That order has been messed up in such a way that I'll require it. So therefore, when you read in other books of the Bible before you get to the New Testament and you see God executing judgment on the nations, it's the nations are committing murder, they're committing sacrilege, and God is judging. He's already said, way back here, I'm going to require it. So when he requires it, we that don't hold to what's already been written, often we think God is being mean, as opposed to, wow, it took God a long time to deal with these other nations. Look how long it took for him to build up a nation from the time he met Abraham all the way to the time Joseph went to Egypt, all the time till it took them to become a nation, and they had plenty of time. And God had already said, I will require it. Please read.
Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man.
And because of that importance, and because of that which God did, that's why it's so important for that not to happen. You go ahead and read 7 for me, please.
And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth. And multiply therein.
Read on.
And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying.
Now this doesn't really seem like we're teaching Leviticus. This doesn't seem like, why would you go this far when he says to you, it will be unclean. I want us to understand that the whole world had had a covenant with God, but now God is saying to my family, I'm going to separate you. I'm getting ready to honor you, but in order for me to honor you, you must honor me. It must be about me. When it's about me, you'll be in the right position, and I'm going to get into your daily life, to the very thing that you eat, to the way that you socialize with the other people in the nation, and therefore I'm going to show you, if you can hold back or remember what was already said, that I'm putting you where you should have been to start with. Read the next verse, please.
And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you.
I want you to understand this, Dorian. God is telling Noah and his sons, which are the parents of us today, which happen to be the father of Abraham, Shem, that I'm establishing a covenant with you. This is so important. The next verse, please read it.
And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth.
I want us to understand that God did not just make a covenant with man. He made a covenant with the animals. The animals are under God's jurisdiction. The animals will be judged if they kill a man. But God has also made a covenant with them. I submit to you, with God making a covenant with the animals, that they were to be our servants. And God did this himself. And you have some animals that are going to be deemed clean and some unclean. Please read.
And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.
Can I say emphatically that God has reiterated and enumerated twice that he has made a covenant with every living thing? It's very important for us to see these things, because when God is separating his people, when God is doing what he's doing, this is not just what you would call whimsical. There is something that God is doing, that God's got going on, that's very important for us. And read down to the covenant of the rainbow, and then I want us to see, and then that'll take me back to Leviticus.
I do set my bow on the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh.
Thank you. I wanted us to understand that when we're reading this in the book of Leviticus, it's not that one animal is no good and that one animal is some good. This is the distinction that God is making. And in making this distinction, he is able to teach something that they may not fully understand what he's teaching, but he is teaching. So as I go back to Leviticus chapter 4, if you keep what we've just read in mind, that God has got the animals under judgment, that the animals are man's servants, but they can be used, but they're not to be just treated any kind of way. So when you see verse 4, nevertheless, you, children of Israel, you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, and them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, and divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. Some people want to know what all of these animals are, and some of these animals we don't have any idea. We can have the words like this. Is some people call it a rock badger, and the way it make it look like it's like a groundhog. And then some of them, when we get down to the birds, they say we don't even know, because the Hebrew is unclear. But it is clear what he's saying. It is clear what kind of animals in a lot of cases that these are. You have an idea what kind of family it's in, but they use the term family, order, genus, species, phyla, etc. God didn't use those kind of classification. God used the term kinds. The next verse says, of their flesh, I'm in verse 8, ye shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. You are to separate from these animals. You are to make a division in the way that you treat these animals. The one that part the hoof, the one that chew the cud. At the same time, those you may eat. Those that only do half and a part, they didn't make the division all the way. I'll make some more explanation on that as we move on, but I have a lot of verses here. And are you with me in Leviticus 11? If you are, read 9 for me, please.
These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall you eat.
If you notice, we've gone from land, now we're going to water. The next step will be going to what flies in the air. In the water, what you'll be able to eat are those that have fins and scales in the water. Those things that have like a protective coat on them. Those that have something that pretty much keeps them from being smooth. Things that keep them from being amphibians. If it has scales, if it has fins, the Bible said if it has scales, you can eat that. That's in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers. That's the dividing line. That's what's separate. I want you to see that God is consistent on this kind of thing. I want to read something to you while Ann holds that. If we look back from Genesis chapter 1, Just listen how God made some points when he was doing his creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. It says, and God saw the light that it was good. He divided light from darkness. Verse 6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water to divide waters from water. Genesis chapter 1, verse 7. God made a firmament and divided waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Genesis 1 and 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night. Genesis 1 and 18, and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. The point being made is that some of these animals are not showing clear distinction in the way that they're doing. For instance, those that have the cloven foot, like the camel, they have a pad on their foot and they have the cloven hoof, and therefore they're doing two things instead of just one, as if they're confusing things or that there's chaotic, there's not a clear distinction in what's going on. Same thing with the fish. Read that again that you read in verse 9 and take me to the next verse.
These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall you eat.
Verse 10.
And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing that is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you.
They can live in the waters, but they don't have the fins. They don't have the scales, and I want you to see the separation that is to be there. Now, there's a multiplicity of things that people say. Some say it's for hygiene, but yet there are people that eat some of the animals that they say that are hygienically bad and they don't die. There are some say that it's just for a cultural reason because they did idolatry, and a lot of those animals they did use for idolatry. But you have a lot of animals here that you will see that can do two things. As we move on, you'll see it. You'll get to amphibians, and then you'll get the things that's supposed to walk on the land, but they can walk and fly. And I'll show you a difference. Please read on.
They shall be even an abomination unto you.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination.
You shall. You are making a separation. I'm dividing that which you can eat. I'm dividing that which, if you are in the company of a Canaanite, a Hittite, a Perizzite, or an Amorite, that they would not be quick for you to have fellowship with them. We're talking about a meal. Or that if they came to your place, they might be comfortable, but you won't be comfortable because I need you to be separated. I don't want you to be part Canaanite and part Israelite. I don't want you to be part Hittite and part Canaanite. I want you to be dedicated to me. So I'm taking little things like animals, which are your servants, and showing you that even in that, I can make separation. Even if you don't fully understand what he's doing, look at how it's developing. Please read some more.
Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you.
When things can do more than one thing in the water, and they don't have to have the scales and fins, it doesn't mean that they're deformed. We're talking about a picture of a clear distinction being made. When a clear distinction of their habitat, that's the word I want to use, is being made. Because we're going to see that some of them don't have the same habitat. They can have more than one. Please read. Because he's going to make a change in verse 13 and get us to flying. Please read.
And these are they which you shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ostrich and the osprey.
Of those that fly, we've had first the animals that God created to walk on the land. There are some that walk and they divide the hoof. When they walk, they chew the cud. You have some that don't. Then when you get to the ocean, to the waters, to the rivers, you have those that have the scales and the fins and those that don't. Now those that are supposed to fly in the firmament of the heaven, you have some that's going to be outlawed or unclean to you. And he starts out on this one a little differently. It looks like on the first two, he starts out with what you can eat. Did you notice that?
Yes.
On this one, he made a difference. And those that we're talking about that you can't eat right now is showing the ones that eat other animals, carrion, carcasses, carnivorous. That's the word I'm looking for. Please read.
And the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the night hawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind.
We're dealing with predators here. And it seems as if what God is showing here, those that are going and attacking or eating that which is dead or carcasses, cleaning up, that's showing that they have habits that I will not allow you to have. You can't eat those. Tim, what do you mean? If you've read the chapter already, God will not even allow them, the one that is supposed to have the animal as the servant, to pick up what we call roadkill and eat it. These animals will eat what we call roadkill. There are people that listen to us in other countries. So things that just, you see a car hit something and it's been there a couple of days or whatever, or if you just see it, he wouldn't allow them to just eat something that died of itself. We call it roadkill in America. He would not allow them to eat that. Well, these animals would eat that. And if you eat that animal, you are eating the same thing he's told you not to eat. Please read.
And the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gear eater.
Now someone might say, I can find one of these birds that don't eat carrion, if I look hard enough. Well, can we be honest? A lot of these birds are nighttime birds. Have we not seen that the Bible talked about Babylon being the place of every foul bird? Every foul bird. And when we're talking about foul birds, it's speaking of just as if a foul bird is not that the bird is evil in itself, but it's like it represents evil. Just like the raven. When the raven went out with the carrion after the flood, he didn't come back. But the white bird, the dove, it came back. This is a clean bird, and that bird could even be offered as a sacrifice. Please read. Oh, and the point that I was making, I'm sorry, Ann. The point that I was making, if someone can find that one of these animals is not a scavenger or a predator, you always can fall back on God said so. In order to pick out everything that God wanted, we would really need to be able to look at every bird and know its habits. But we do know some of the habits of these birds. Please read.
And the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat.
Now, who in here have ever seen a lapwing? All of us have spent hours on the computer. I don't know what a lapwing is. I can give you the Hebrew word for it, because the lapwing wouldn't have been called a lapwing in the Hebrew language. I'll give you that word, and listen, and maybe you said you've heard of it then. The word here is dukipat. You seen one of those before? I haven't either. Please read.
All fowls that creep, going upon all four, shall be an abomination unto you.
All fowls that creep, going on all four, instead of flying in the midst of the heavens, like they're designed to do, those that fly, and they do more than one thing, almost like it's confusing. That's not confusing to God, and it's not confusing to them, but God is making distinctions of order, after his kind, and I'm not saying they crossbred, I'm saying for ceremonial purposes, for the individuals to see that there are distinctions that's being overlapped. Those kind of animals seem to be the ones that he's making unclean. Please read.
Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four.
Now these are the ones that you can eat that goes on all four. Now it sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Let's see if there's a contradiction.
Which have legs above their feet to leap withal upon the earth.
These, they don't just walk. They don't slide their belly on the dirt, the earth that was cursed. They jump. They jump. It's not as if they're walking around as a man or as a quadruped and then flying off. These jump like grasshoppers. They jump and they can fly. There's a distinction. There's a difference. They do that. Please read.
Even these of them you may eat, the locust after his kind, and the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you.
You're not going to be able, unless he jumps. It's not, I don't believe that the jumping makes him clean so far as he's a cleaner insect to eat, but I'm making a distinction. He doesn't drag on the ground. It's as if he has separation between one part of the earth and himself. So he jumps. He's not sliding on the dirt like a serpent, etc. He jumps. Please read.
And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening.
It seems as if the unclean has something to do with death. As if when the Bible said death pass upon all and death can spread. Somebody say, Tim, how did you come from unclean to death? That seemed like a mighty, that's almost like a Superman leap. Well, if we look at what's being said here, when it's talking about unclean, these shall be unclean. Notice, you are unclean for touching the carcass. If you're not unclean for touching the carcass of something when it's living, why is it when it's dead, it is now unclean? There is something about touching something that's dead that makes you unclean. I didn't say that it made you a sinner. I didn't say that it made you wicked. But God is wanting you to separate, make a difference between unclean and clean, life and non-life, and that which is holy and acceptable to him and not. So he says, the things that are unclean, whosoever touches the unclean of them that are unclean shall be unclean to even. Read some more, please.
And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening.
The individual that does that will wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. That's not saying that you're going to be put to death. It's not saying that you got to go make a sacrifice. But ceremonially, I've got a way in order for you to conduct your life on every basis. I want you to represent life. I don't want you to represent death. I don't even want you to be insofar as just dealing with death like that because you are my child. And I'm going to make the nations realize that life is coming through me. So you honor me in doing this. If you touch the carcass, if by chance you have to move it, you accidentally touch it, you go ahead and put it wherever you got to put it. You wash your clothes. You unclean to the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice is the beginning of the new day. You're only unclean until the next purification sacrifice is going to be made, and now you're unclean. I mean, you're clean again. I'm going to say you're unclean again. Now you're clean again. Now that might not seem like a big deal, Ann, but this is what I want. I'm making a difference between unclean and clean. I did not design you for death. I designed you for life. And I want you to honor life, and I want you separated from death. And if you do come in contact with that which is dead, that I said is unclean, you need to be clean in order to be in right fellowship with me. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven footed nor cheweth the cud are unclean unto you. Everyone that toucheth them shall be unclean.
When an unclean animal dies, you may have to move it off your field. You can't say, well, because it's unclean, I can't touch it. I can't move it off the field. Let me go find a Canaanite. Let me go way over there and get me a Canaanite to move it. You might need to move it yourself. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. But you realize when you do, you are unclean to even. Don't come try to go to my tabernacle and try to offer sacrifice. You are ceremonially unclean. You are not able to come into the presence where I am and doing worship and I'm forgiving sins and I'm doing whatever's got to be done. You are unclean. Stay there. Wash your clothes. wash yourself, you unclean the evening. This is the restriction on you. You've come in contact with something dead and unclean. Wait till the evening sacrifice, and then you can be restored to the community. God is teaching people how to self-check themselves. Please read.
And whatsoever goeth upon his paws, among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the evening.
Those that go upon padded paws, those are unclean to you. When the serpent was cursed in Genesis chapter 3, he's going to go on the earth, he's going to slither on the earth, he's going to crawl on his belly. This animal has nothing to separate himself from the ground. His whole paw is on the ground. He may not be crawling, but his whole paw, he's always in contact with no separation like that in the foot. Because somebody said, well, the left foot is separated from the right foot. I didn't make the rules. There's a separation that's being made there that God has made a distinction. And in that distinction, you don't split the hoof. You're going on your paws, and the dirt and the earth has been cursed for man's sake. That's what you're dealing with here. As a matter of fact, I want to cheat a little bit. When we get to chapter 12, we're going to talk about the issue of childbirth. And we're going to see that that's going to go right back to Genesis where he cursed. Not really cursed, but he multiplied woman's sorrow in childbirth. And we're going to find it in childbirth, the very thing that God said he was going to deal with in Genesis chapter 3. That's the very thing that's going to have to deal with in being unclean. The same thing about the ground and how you walk upon the ground has something to do with being unclean. And the same thing with the aquatic things in the water has something to do with being unclean. God cursed the earth for man's sake, and the water was not exempt. Please read.
And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you.
To you, in order to exemplify me. You could be out working with a Canaanite or a Hittite. They may be your friends. They may not even encourage you to do wrong. But when they see you touch this animal or you move this animal, they help you move this animal, and they see you go and wash and you don't come back out to even, you are showing them that there's a difference. Now, he may even eat the animal. But I'm wanting you to glorify me. This is what I desire. There are many other such things that I'm going to have you to do to show that I want a difference. I submit to you that the problem with the modern day church today is we don't want to make a distinction in anything from the way we conduct our lives, the way we do business, the way we treat our family, the way we treat our children, the way we conduct ourselves in school, the way that we either work or don't work, the way we call ourselves serving God. It's almost as if God is not the one to be glorified. It's us. If we feel good about it, that's what we'll do. If we get something out of it, we'll do it. Can you look at this pattern right here and see God is not interested in what you like? Can you look at this pattern and see God is not asking for a vote? Can you look at this pattern and say, this is what will glorify and honor me? And when it glorifies and honor me above all the chaos that's in the world and make the right distinction, then you'll have my provision, you'll have my protection, and you'll obtain my promises. Please read some more of the sweet word of God, Andrina.
These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth.
There are some things that creep upon the earth. These also, it's almost as if, well, I told you some. But just in case you're unsure, I got some more to tell you. Please tell me about them.
The weasel, the mouse, the tortoise, after his kind.
These are unclean, and these are the ones that creep upon the earth. These are animals that creep, swarm upon the earth. Read on.
The ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, the snail, the mole.
Can you see that some of these animals are sliding across the ground? Can you see how the tortoise, how slowly he moves? He's not a snake, but how he moves slowly upon the ground? Do you see they don't have the hoofs that part? God is showing, it's evidently, this is what I gather, if I'm wrong, prove it, and then I'll stop saying it. There is something about the ground and the way they contact the ground, God is making a distinction. He didn't say the animals were wicked. They were, at one time, they could all be eaten. But now I'm trying to teach you something. And in trying and in order to teach you something, I need you to understand distinctions. When we get to chapter 12, a woman is not going to be put to death because she has a child. But at this time, she's unclean. She is unclean and you're to separate from her. And I tell you, one of the most magnificent things about that is she can get some rest. There are other times when she will be unclean. She can get some rest. She don't have to cook for you. When she, we'll get to it when we get to it. Please read.
These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the evening.
Notice, when they're dead. Did you see the distinction? You work it. It didn't say you're unclean then. But if it's dead and you touch it, you're unclean. Death, it has the ability to spread. I submit to you that death spreads anyway. The Bible talks about an individual that does not like wisdom will remain in the congregation of the dead. And I have found that people that don't like wisdom, they spread that. They will spread their folly, and individuals will go along with that folly as if that folly is the truth. And I submit to you that there are individuals that are walking around unclean, unholy, because of who and what they listen to. Please read some more.
And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So it shall be cleansed.
Do you see that God even says when things are unclean, I determine. It's not Tim. It's not Moses. It started out with the Lord spake to Moses. When these things happen, so that you don't say, well, it just happened to be there and I didn't do it. I don't want to hear it. It's unclean. It's unclean to you. Death has gotten onto your stuff. Your stuff need to be clean until even put it in water. He didn't say you had to use soap. He didn't say you had to use acid. He didn't say you had to run around screaming at the top of your voice. He just said wash and be clean. Isn't that what the man told Naaman? Those that familiar with Naaman the Syrian had leprosy and he wanted Elisha to do some magnificent thing. Elisha said, wash and be clean. And the dude was like, I thought you were going to do something good and big for me. Well, you unclean, partner. Wash and be clean. That's what you need to do. What do we need to do? Many of us got hatred in our heart. We don't love God. God's word is not important to us. Do we understand we are coming in contact with death? Death. Those that hate God's word, those that don't love God's word will be lightly esteemed. Wash and be clean. How do you get washed? With the washing of water by the word. Those that honor God's word, he'll honor them. That's all I love. I love God's word and it tells me how to love everybody in my family and those that are not in my family. It even teaches me how to love my enemies. It does. I didn't say I go out and buy them all dinner and steak and we go out and ride around, but I don't wish them harm. I don't try to hurt them. And if I can, I try to do something good for them. Even sometimes it hurt. That means I got more washing to do. Please read, Ann.
And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it shall be unclean, and you shall break it.
And you shall break it. You know, I was paying attention to somebody from Horizon. And he was saying something that I do believe. Because that same thing when we look inside of the tabernacle, when they were doing the sacrifice, when certain things happen that's unclean, you break the earthen vessel. Man is made from the earth. And it's as if when something is unclean, it actually soaks through the porousness of the earthen vessel. And just washing it, rinsing it, doesn't make it clean. Now, somebody said, well, what about leather and a strap? Well, we're skin. We wash it, we're clean. What about the wood? I don't fully know. I know this. God said, break it. Who are we to argue with the Almighty? We do know that stuff was soaked not only into porous earthenware, it'll soak into a pot. What are those black skillets that people used to cook with? Cast iron? You could take a cast iron skillet that's black and put water in it and just let it boil, and you'll see grease come out of it, even although you may have thought it was clean. Please read.
Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean.
Please read.
And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean. Whether it be oven.
Now, when we think of an oven here, I had to say that for clarification. And the oven that we think about is the range. It's like, how they got lizard gonna fall into the oven? They would have a pot, sometimes like a ceramic pot, that they could put coals in and let it get hot. I mean, really, really hot. They either dump the coals out or leave the coals in, and then they could cook inside that, and that could be called an oven. Okay. So if it fell into that, it's unclean. Please read.
Or ranges for pots. They shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean unto you.
Now, it could be that those little animals not only are unclean, but many of these animals that we talk about, other nations use them to worship. As a matter of fact, some of the animals that we talked about were used to worship the underworld, to get relief from spirits and things of that nature. And God did not want you to look like you were condoning what they were doing. God did not want you to have no look that there was neutrality in you. God did not want it to look like you were alone, getting along to get along with people. God said, honor me. This is what this passage is saying. Honor me. Honor my lifestyle. You are the head. You are not the tail. You honor me. Glorify me. And you can affect the job that I have for you to do. And other nations would come to you and want to learn your way. I want to say one other thing about these animals being part of God's servitude. There's another thing that when we talk about the Sabbath, when God had the Sabbath, you remember God would tell them that you don't do any work on the Sabbath, you nor the stranger nor the alien. He said, nor beast either. Not your beast, not your cattle, not your ox. I'm telling you that when mankind would look and see what God was doing with Israel, the way you protected your animal, the way your animals were treated, the way you did, the way you dishonored death like the Egyptians honored death, the way you separated from it, the way you separated from things that they would do, they would know that there's a distinction, that they were going to hate you for it. It did not matter, Anne, because God said, when you follow me, two of you can chase 10,000. I'll send the hornet. I'll send hail from my heaven. When your men go up three times a year to feast to me, I won't let anybody touch your field. I give you a lot of sacrifice days. I give you a lot of almost 85 days a year you don't have to work. I give you that kind of vacation and nobody's going to bother your stuff. There'll be not one of your women barren. But I got to be honored. It's got to be about me. And the problem is with most of us that call ourselves church people, what do I get out of service? What do I get? If what you get is not you trying to get something that you could honor God and make his name magnified, glorified in such a way that people will see how wretched they are and how much honor God should have, then you're not trying to get the right thing out. You should be trying to come and bring something to God. I'll explain it like this. Our tabernacle teachings that we've had, our sacrifice teachings that we've had in Leviticus, showed that when you came to God, you weren't coming to accept him. You were coming and inspecting that animal and hoping that the priest would inspect it and say you were right, that that animal is worthy to be sacrificed. Then he's got to deal with you. Then you got to confess your sin. Then the animal can be offered and you're hoping that God will let the smoke go up and that he'll accept you. And I submit to you that you could bring all the sacrifices you want to. But if you had ignored these things in your daily life about the clean and the unclean, and you come there and you acting like nothing has happened because, well, when I go to the temple, that's church or that's what we do. But when I go home, I go back to being who I am. I submit to you, just like that fire came out and got Nadab and Abihu, it could do the same thing to you. Why? You've taken God's name in vain. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean.
See, do you see how what God did there, Rudy? See, he could say that fountain or that pit or that cistern was unclean. Get the animal out, and whatever you use to touch it or to fetch it out, that's unclean. Because, you know, you could actually go, you could actually, what do they call it when you run out of water? It's not famine. Drought, you could actually be in a drought and that's all the water that you have left. And don't you think animals and insects can't smell water? They can smell it. They can find it just like you can. And they, some of them get in the water and they can't get out. Please read.
And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed, which is to be sown, it shall be clean.
Isn't that beautiful? He could have said it is dirty. Not dirty. He could say it's unclean. But he said it's clean. If it falls on it, the death didn't pass to the seed that's being sown. But what's the caveat?
But if any water be put upon the seed and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you.
If you let it get wet. You see, it fall out there, I get it up tomorrow. It's, I mean, it ain't, it, I'm tired. You know, so I've worked all day, and a storm come that night. It's going to be unclean because you didn't deal with it right then. You should have went on and dealt with it. You'd have been unclean from that evening to the next evening. Because once the evening sacrifice is done, you already started to the next day. But he gave you a provision. Please read.
And if any beast of which you may eat die, he that touches the carcass thereof shall be unclean until the even.
If it's roadkill, if it dies out there because you worked it too hard, guess what? It's unclean to you. Don't go eating it like that. We don't do that. You haven't drained the blood or anything out of it. The life is in the blood. Please read.
And he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening.
And if you eat it anyway, you're not going to hell. You're not being cut off. You're not put out of the congregation. Wash and be clean. Because under certain circumstances, that animal died. You might be able to drain the blood. But God said you're still unclean until even. But you realize that this is not the way of life for you. Please read.
He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even.
Mm-hmm.
And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten.
Every creeping thing that's going to slide upon the earth, it creeps upon the earth, it is detestable. It's an abomination. Spit it out of your mouth. I don't want it in your mouth. That's what that word sequest, abomination, mean. Detest it. I submit to you that there are a lot of things that we as the children of God should detest just like that, and we don't. We uphold many things that we should let go. We uphold divorce when we should let it go. We uphold homosexuality when we should let it go. We uphold coveting when we should let it go. We uphold the lack of studying God's word and let it go. We uphold ungodly ministers, and we should detest that because God detests it. We should learn to abhor what God abhors, and that way we separate the clean from the unclean. Somebody said, well, we don't so-and-so or something. I'm just trying to tell you. Whatever it is that God say is abominable, that's what this is teaching, is abominable. Oh, blessed is everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Read, Andrina.
Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination.
Doesn't that sound like the serpent? Doesn't that sound like the lizard? Doesn't that sound like the centipede, the millipede? We don't know what all has many feet. They always, and I do mean always, seem like they talk about there's a new insect, there's a new bug, there's an extinct thing came. We don't know everything that God has made. But whatsoever, and the old people say, whatsoever, crawl on the belly, go on all fours, they don't separate like it should be done. Whatsoever have all these feet, there's just too many, there's too much going on. It's almost like he's sliding on his belly. You will not eat. It's detestable to you. Please read.
You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you shall be defiled thereby.
You shall not make yourself abominable by bonding with something that is abominable. You shall not be yoked with unbelievers. You shall not be yoked to pornography. You shall not be yoked to homosexuality, to murder, debate, deceit, wrath, trying to be neutral with the ungodly world, trying to make friends with people that hate God. When you partake of that, it becomes a part of who you are. That which is abominable passes to you, just like touching a carcass that's unclean passes to you. It's the same story told in a different way. I want your lifestyle to be clean so that when you come before me, I can accept you. That's what it's about, Rudy. I want you clean so that I can accept you, so I can bless you, so I can protect you. But you got to honor me. You got to lift me up. You got to make the world know who I am. I'm not a joke. I'm God. Read.
For I am the Lord your God.
Yes.
You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Peter quotes that. Peter tells you, for he that has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle. 1 Peter 1:15-16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If I hadn't already gone 59 minutes, I would break it and bust into it. I guess I'll just have to hold back. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong and hold back, because I can pick up where I left off. Read the next verse.
For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
I don't want you to be an abomination to me. I want you sanctified, holy, and clean for me. I got the rights to do that, D.R. I brought you up out of Egypt. Moses didn't do it. I brought you out. I did it. I opened the Red Sea. I destroyed the Amalekites for you. I did it. Give me my props. Honor me. That's what he's saying. Honor me. Look at what I've done. I brought you up out of Egypt. You were slaves. And because of that, imitate me. Be like me. Holy and separate from that which is ungodly, that which is untoward, that which people do that don't know how to worship God. You do it. Please read.
This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not.
God is showing that out of even the servants that I've allowed mankind to have. You see, man was, the earth was full of violence and wickedness was everywhere. Man had evidently already started eating different types of animal, and God said he could eat them all. Now I'm drawing it in. I'm reining it in, because what I got to do is teach you. You all don't know. Your parents didn't teach you. I'm teaching you. You must make difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. And this is the manner that I'm going to govern your life. life, from the way you eat to what goes in your cistern to what comes in your house. And this is just the beginning. This is the baby weight insofar as how you get clean. But this is an important part of everything you do every day that you eat. Everything that you live in, the unclean things can come in. I need you to understand, keep me as the focus of your mind, that you pay attention to that which is unclean so that you don't be defiled. If you are defiled, be cleaned. That's the picture. I'll develop it a little further. But I want to say this last thing on that. There are other things that we're going to cover that's unclean that you can't just wash and be clean that evening and be clean the next day. There's something that requires days of cleanliness to deal with. Look at how magnificent God is, Rudy. Can you tell me that if the people didn't have a Bible around, that they would not be able to take this and learn this and understand that there's a picture? Girl, you better not, girl, that thing dead. You better not touch that. You won't be able to go worship this week. I mean, it's already the sixth day. Or the fifth day, Sabbath is in a little while. If you touch it, you can't even go. You're going to be unclean. You can't have Passover. And child, we going to eat? Well, I mean, we got some lambs. Daddy taking, we had a good crop. Daddy going to do a big peace offering. If you touch that over there, you're not going to get to go. You better not go in there unclean. Going in there unclean. And you trying to hide it is so dangerous that you don't know what God would do. But look at how we call ourselves. We go to what we call church. People leave the club and go. People get up in the morning with their boyfriend. You have pastors that got boyfriends that are men. You have women that have girlfriends in there. You have people that will do any and every kind of thing, teach you that you can live any kind of way you want to and don't have to be holy. And they go up and not have a fear of God. And we think that God's not going to do anything. And that's the way that the Canaanites feel. That's the way the Hittites feel. That's what the Bible called them, Amorites, in Genesis 15. But God said, when the iniquity was full, I'm going to deal with them. God deals with everybody at his own time. I think my iniquity was about full. And God gave me one last chance. And because I was afflicted, I keep his word. I want to build on this some more as we go on through in the future. But I think that's a good introduction to clean and unclean. And that God makes distinctions. So should we. I haven't made as much application as I want to, but I will in the future. Father, thank you for your blessed, eternal, and your righteous word. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your magnificent glory. Help us to understand that these passages are not just for us to just learn animals as clean and unclean, what was not to be eaten and what can be eaten. You've shown us in the scripture what they represented. And with your strength and with your might, we'll talk about that in the future. Help us, I pray, that we would at least get the message that every moment, every aspect of our life, from what we're doing in the field to when we sit down and eat to wherever we go, that it's important for us to remember that we represent you and that you're looking at us and you're judging every aspect of our life. Help us to keep our minds set so that we will wash by your word, be washed by your blood, and be clean. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.